Welcome to Federal Insights for June, sponsored by Iron Bow Technologies in partnership with Dell Technologies on Federal News Network.
The fast-growing technologies of artificial intelligence, machine learning, and robotic process automation share an important characteristic with earlier emerging technologies. For success, they require careful planning and a clear idea of what you want to achieve. For how one agency approaches them, I spoke with two people from the Defense Logistics Agency. David Koch is the Director of Research and Development, and Teresa Smith, the Chief Data Officer.
We began our AI journey back in around 2018 when we hosted an enterprise-wide AI learning and information gathering session. So we brought about 70 people across the enterprise together to talk through, give them an introduction into AI, and then brainstorm ideas across the enterprise, across every business area, every different functional area to kind of get a scope on the type of projects that we may need to pursue. Since then, in partnership with David's office and the R&D, we've done several projects in the area to kind of pilot and see, you know, the art of the possible, as well as giving us some real business value. So we've taken on several projects, but we have a cadre of about 48 ideas that the team brainstormed, and some of those did turn into these R&D efforts into AI.
And maybe, David, tell us what some of the application areas are, because when I think of DLA, I think of a really big agency with all these thousands of suppliers and supply lines and contracting activities, logistics to get the stuff out to wherever it's needed. I mean, you've got a big task going on there.
Oh, we definitely do have a big task. And I think there's, you know, lots of opportunity for AI and machine learning to be able to really help our processes. I would say there's two big areas that we're working right now in kind of the research and development realm. One of them is in improving our demand planning process. And as you know, I mean, when there's high demand for an item, it's really easy to predict how much you're going to need and ensure you always have it on the shelf waiting for the warfighter to request it. But really, when you get to that low demand or infrequent demand items, it becomes a lot harder to predict. And we think that there's opportunity for artificial intelligence to help us with that journey. So we're, you know, actually been going down that path. We're actually going to team with the Joint Artificial Intelligence Center, the JAIC, and on this one. And we think that because it's going to be helping out the military services, it would be great to really go joint on this effort and see what they have to offer. The other area that we're working that I think there's tremendous opportunity, and I think COVID really brought this to light for, you know, all of us in the United States, and that is how can we reduce supply chain risk with artificial intelligence? And so that's the other big area. And in fact, we just started down the project with that about a month ago. It took us a while to narrow down to, you know, who we want to use and all that kind of stuff. So we're excited about both those opportunities. And although they're both just, you know, beginning, we think that they do offer tremendous opportunity for the organization.
Yes, it sounds like you've chosen two areas that are as close to the central mission of DLA as possible.
I agree.
All right. And what does it take to, well, first of all, if you would, maybe how do you guys distinguish between, or is there anything to distinguish between artificial intelligence and machine learning? I mean, they get said together like frick and frack all the time, but there are subtle differences, aren't there?
Yeah. Yes, there are. So, you know, artificial intelligence, the way we look at it is, you know, we're using the machines and a host of data, and I can't emphasize enough as the chief data officer that you can't do AI effectively without good, accessible data. But, you know, the way we look at it is AI is performing those tasks that require that human intelligence, using massive amounts of data, recognizing patterns, learning from that experience and drawing those conclusions, you know, to make predictions or to take action. Whether it's, you know, as part of a software or behind those physical systems. And then machine learning is a branch of AI that's finding patterns in data that is learning without being explicitly programmed. And so, you know, David talked about some of the forecasting, the demand planning. We also look at one of the things that we're kind of combining those areas is on our back order prediction to not only make the predictions using these massive amounts of data and patterns, but then as we're making these predictions, whether it's around metrics or other, I mean, around back orders or other of our performance metrics, then the system will continuously learn and adjust. So I think that's a good way we're combining the two. And you, like you said, they're freaking frack. They kind of go together. But we'll set up the AI to do the predictive capability, but then enjoying the machine learning to, you know, constantly learn the mistakes or the accuracies and refine the logic going forward.
And David, the implication there, and also in what you said about teaming up with the Joint Artificial Intelligence Center, the DoD-wide effort, that there must be data outside necessarily of the Defense Logistics Agency that could inform DLA's use of machine learning and artificial intelligence, because other activities that the DoD does, especially the armed services, depend on what DLA delivers. And maybe even there could be data from the ammunition and kinetic side, which DLA does not supply. But it sounds like a lot of this could be combined for your own artificial intelligence efforts. True?
No, you're absolutely correct on that. And that was one of the reasons we wanted to team with the Jake on improving that demand forecasting, because they do have access to a lot of the service maintenance data. And we think that those connections will help us do better predictions. Hey, Tom, I do think there's one other point that I'd like to make that, I think is worth mentioning, and that is when Dr. Ducek came in as our CIO, he did something that was pretty smart that has really put us on a good path for this. He had three priorities when he came in. One of them was to improve the user experience. The second one was to create a DLA platform. So you think of, kind of that single sign-on to do everything you need to do instead of signing in multiple times for different applications. But the third one is really applicable to what we're talking about today, and that is creating a data architecture for AI. So he really had to start stepping through that process of re-architecting data to be able to drive AI. Because as Teresa so rightly said, data is the key to being able to be successful with AI. So he really put us on a good path, and he and Teresa have set us up well to be able to go down this path with artificial intelligence.
David Koch, Director of Research and Development, and Teresa Smith, Chief Data Officer at the Defense Logistics Agency. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Artificial intelligence, AI, is the new buzzword across federal agencies and their IT agendas. Cut through all the AI noise with IronBow. IronBow and Dell Technologies have partnered together to bring agencies AI-powered solutions to empower your workforce with efficiency gains and insights. Learn how together we can support your IT modernization goals. Visit learn.ironbow.com/AI. That's learn.ironbow.com/AI.
Welcome back to our interview with David Koch, Director of Research and Development, and Teresa Smith, the Chief Data Officer at the Defense Logistics Agency. Our topic is how to achieve success in artificial intelligence and machine learning. Hey, let's talk about the data gathering curation for a particular project. Maybe, Teresa, walk us through how that happens and what parties are involved, because they all end up turning to the Chief Data Officer. So to say, what do we do now?
Yeah, that's a great point, Tom. So one of the things that we have emphasized across the board is before we take on an AI effort, we have to make sure the data is available. We, too often have had things, pass over to us, and we've had to do Herculean efforts to get the data to facilitate that. And that's why one of the effort that David mentioned that Dr. Ducek brought on with the data architecture is so key to our progress moving forward. He said we want to make our data AI ready and, free up those stranded assets, those data components that we haven't been able historically to easily get to, enable us to move forward in AI. So what we do is you know, the process begins with, you know, the generation and intake of new ideas. And we have a pretty structured governance process around this. But once an idea is identified, then we develop a use case to refine and evaluate it for feasibility. Part of that is the data available? Do we do that internally, organically? Do we partner with, as David mentioned, the JAIC to take this on? Do we go to an outside source? So we look at that. If the idea isn't feasible, then we'll send it back and try to get more information, decompose it a little bit to determine where we need to refine it. But once we have our use cases, we prioritize those by the value and the return on investment. And I think that's pretty key, because we do want to see what that return on investment is. And it could be looking at process savings, people savings, financial savings, or even not necessarily a quantifiable savings, but in the example David used of the supply chain risk management, it's the right thing to do to enable other protections and other efforts. So we look at all those things in our selection process, and then we have an executive steering group that evaluates and monitors the efforts as we move forward.
Okay, a lot of questions here. Let me begin with the data architecture, maybe drill down and give us some idea of what the elements are of a data architecture.
Well, you know, as we're looking at that, and we do have a dedicated data architect who is looking at our data sources, the setup of our data, and this is going hand in glove with our data modernization effort and our digital business transformation across the agency. So as we are looking at that, again, we're looking at the business requirements, the technology requirements, the data standards and principles, and then our data architect will, you know, design our data management framework around those needs. And as we mentioned, it's about making our data available and AI ready. So that's, you know, accessible, quality, timely, and the data is there for the specific types of initiatives and efforts that we have.
So at some level, the architecture then has to get down to storage and how things are staged physically so that the data is available, for example, for training. And then if you want to introduce new training data based on historical happenings in the applications, then that has to be moved to and staged in such a way that it's there for the algorithm.
Exactly. And so, it's, you know, the models, the data architect works closely with my team on the policies, the rules, the standards, of which data is collected, how we're storing it, how we're putting it to use in the organization or in the specific project.
And as data might come in from other agencies and other applications that generated it that are not part of DLA but can inform DLA's AI efforts, there must be a lot of work to do to format or normalize or somehow make it interoperable with the project you're working on.
That's true. And there's a lot of discussion, especially with Mr. Spurk, the DOD CDO, and the CDOs at large, about how we, you know, have federated data for the department as a whole. And he recently put out a memo on the data directives that call out a lot of the ways that we could work together. Because from my perspective, I do think that's kind of been a hole that we've had as a department, is how we can make our data interoperable and, you know, can leverage and work together on sharing of data. When we pass as DLA, we share a lot of data with our external DOD partners, and it does take a lot of formatting, a lot of explanation, and so we're trying as a group to get our hands around that and make sure that we do have data that is interoperable, more easily shareable, and so as a department we can leverage one another's data.
And David, in the larger sense, in coming up with ideas that will have return on investment, is this something that starts from the top down because you know the costs and you know the financial implications and the top brass have to justify budgets? Or can they bubble up from people on the line that say, hey, if we did this and this happened, look how much more efficient we could be?
That's a great question, because actually we take it either way. So, you know, it could be that the top down comes up with a suggestion that they would like us to consider, you know, artificial intelligence for. But, you know, across our different R&D programs, we work with each of the major stakeholders within the agency. And as they come up with ideas, then we consider them as well. So it can go either way for that.
Got it. And so how many things are going on at once for the moment? Do you have like 10, 20? Can we get an order of magnitude for what's going on in terms of project numbers?
I would say it's low. I mean, it's 3 to 4, right? So the two I already mentioned on supply chain risk management, and then, you know, also the demand forecasting. Those are new projects that, you know, that we're just starting this year. We also did a project already kind of on back order prediction, trying to see if we can use artificial intelligence to predict which items are likely to become back orders in the future. Of course, that also kind of helps with forecasting, right? The whole idea is if you can predict that it's going to become a back order, then you can start that acquisition process sooner to ensure it does not. We've only done a few of them, but we wanted to make sure that we had the strategy right first. So, you know, one of the first things that we did was do a groundwork study for artificial intelligence to ensure the agency kind of knew what did we need to consider when we go down this path, and what's the playbook really to start working artificial intelligence. And that really helped set the strategy for us and help put us on the glide path to where we are today. And, you know, Teresa's team really leads that effort for the agency, and we're just proud that the groundwork study kind of helped set a foundation for that.
David Koch, Director of Research and Development, and Teresa Smith, the Chief Data Officer at the Defense Logistics Agency. We'll return with the third and final segment of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Our new way of working with a cloud-first approach has unleashed the need for new technologies that can speed up processes, automate manual workflows, and share data across organizations. How can you empower your team with data, drive efficiencies, and increase performance? Ironbow Technologies, along with Dell, will help you discover how AI technologies support agency mission success. Discover more at learn.ironbow.com/AI. That's learn.ironbow.com/AI.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of our interview with David Koch, Director of Research and Development, and Teresa Smith, Chief Data Officer at the Defense Logistics Agency. We've been discussing how to achieve success in artificial intelligence and machine learning. And when an idea, say, bubbles up, or someone decides, you know, there's an initial thought that this application would be useful, give us a good ROI, and so forth, what does it take to shape that idea into something that is executable as a project?
So, Teresa, I don't know if you want to talk about that or not. I mean, we've kind of spent some time thinking about what is the right way to do this. So we do have a process where folks submit it into a system so that there is a small panel that can look at it and see if this is kind of, you know, ripe for artificial intelligence. And Teresa, did you want to talk about that for a minute?
Sure. Yeah. So, I talked about earlier about, you know, making sure that the data is available to support the effort. But also we go back and ask, what problem are we trying to solve? I think we find too often people will try to say, you know, AI is the solution, when, you know, that may not be the solution. So we really do. We have a team of experts in our analytics center of excellence who can look at this and ask those hard questions. What is the problem we're trying to solve? What again, looking at that return on investment, what are the data that we need to make this happen? So we're looking at all of that, and as well as refining as much information about the design thinking and the feasibility of it. And we weigh all of that and look at, you know, again, just to make sure it's something that makes sense for AI. And then if it does, is it something we can do organically? Do we need to partner with David's team for an R&D approach? do we go outside or do we partner with JAIC? So we look across those efforts depending on the scope and the type of business initiative it is.
And do you also envision how this will fit into the workflow? Let's take the example of back order prediction, which is, you know, must be hugely important because, you know, back orders mean you're not delivering when people want. And is this a, does it result in an application or a dashboard, something adjunct to an ordering application that's already existing? How does it fit into the workflow of people actually doing ordering and delivery on behalf of DLA?
It absolutely can, and that's a great point that you raise. And one of the reasons why the AI and the R&D functions are within the J6 IT portfolio is because we do need to look at it and see, okay, what's the long-term maintenance or integration of it. Some things would be integrated into our workflow or our business process systems, and some things are kind of separately stand aside or set aside models that maybe run out of our analytics center of excellence. One example I'll give you is the team is working on some prediction modeling around our cash and our obligation authority. And that integrates with the back order. So a lot of these will eventually start tying together and we'll put these models together. But it's not something that necessarily your everyday user would make use of it. This is more the higher level analytics, and we'll run it out of the Analytics Center of Excellence and provide dashboards to the leadership so that we can, you know, simulate different scenarios, but provide them those predictions on how our, you know, how different changes in our cash situation or planning dials will impact back order creation, obligations, workload. So, you know, it's a combination of things, and we do have to look at that to see, you know, where it will apply across the organization, across the agency, whether it's something that our workforce will directly use and be implemented within our business processing systems, or it'll be run separately and the output will be shared.
And looking at this from your customer's standpoint, I imagine some of their patterns of data can help constantly, say, reform the DLA, artificial intelligence. Again, looking at back orders, suppose there's a trend developing where, I don't know, uniform blouses wear out faster than people thought, or there's demand ahead for them. That's something that is known to the service or to a branch, but yet that could really inform what's going on in DLA, and the earlier the better.
It, very true. And the more that we're able to share that information or share that data across the department, we can each take advantage of that. So our data and some of the models that we have developed are very much of interest to our service partners as well. So we're looking at how we best share that. And with the DLA strategic plan, it does call for us to provide those insights and visuals to our partners so that they can leverage that and take advantage of that information.
David Koch, Director of Research and Development, and Teresa Smith, the Chief Data Officer at the Defense Logistics Agency. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for June, sponsored by Iron Bow Technologies in partnership with Dell Technologies on Federal News Network.